morning. Good morning. Good morning. Father God, thank you this morning for your goodness, for your kindness, for your mercy. Lord, bless your people this morning. And I have a couple of, well, one announcement really. But the first meeting and the following meetings for the book club start September 1st. And they'll be on Thursday evening, 9 o'clock. I try to have it posted up here, which blog talk and the number tomorrow for you. But I don't know if Jennifer wants to say anything, but I'll open up the mic here. Your mic is open, Jennifer.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Yes, I'm very excited to say we will start the book club Thursday, September 1st at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And the book is Cast Out by John Eckert. I'll post it in the chat room as soon as I am done speaking. And then as soon as we get the number, we'll post that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to, it's not a huge book, but there's a lot in it. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through it, and it's going to be really all of the content of the book is going to be held against Scripture, and we're going to explore it utilizing Scripture. And it's going to be great. I really feel like a lot of the things that we've been learning and that we've been through tie into the content of the book. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, so that'll be, you want to give the date and the time again, and then you can post it tomorrow too.
Okay, perfect. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah, the details of that. Yep, so it will be Thursday, September 1st at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which should give everyone from California on the West Coast the opportunity to join if they would like. And we will post more details tomorrow.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, if I sound like I'm dragging a little bit, I probably am. Because I've been praying every hour on the hour. All night. Every hour on the hour. Because I did not want that stuff I had before. That stuff. And I know that this right here, it's a lot better. I might sound kind of bad, but believe me, it's a lot better. And that all night prayer helped too. So it's some good things going on. It's some unusual things going on, but I'm not going to be on here long this morning, but I feel like it's just a little subject that I want to bring up. And if I had an opportunity to name it anything, I would name it Stumbling Stones Can Be Turned into Stepping Stones. Stumbling stones can be turned into stepping stones. And the scripture that the Holy Spirit gave me is Ephesians 3. But this is a combo here, and I bind and rebuke witchcraft off this line. In the name of Jesus. You see, there's two areas of witchcraft. One is backwards witchcraft. When they put that witchcraft on you to go backwards. Because God tells you, us, he who looks back, acts back, thinks back, and goes back is not fit for the kingdom. And the other thing is, there's something called witchcraft failure. And so I knew that stuff had been unloose. And I thought, well, I better just take a quick look at it again and make sure. How many of you suffer with not completing what you start? I'm just asking you to think about it. You start things and you don't complete them. Or you start them and you do a mediocre job. You know, just good enough to say you did it. Just do a good enough job to say you got it up. All those kind of habits. You see, habits. Habits aren't witchcraft. But bad habits open doors to witchcraft. So sometimes, if you're not going to do a good job on something, you should just let somebody else do it who will do it with a spirit of excellence. Because God likes things done through that spirit of excellence. So I looked at failure. And I realized that there are two types of failure. There's destructive failure and there's failure that is called productive failure. Now, productive failure reveals your limitations, your weaknesses, your erroneous thinking, but when you're dealing with productive failure, and when God brings in understanding, it can lead you to better options and they can keep you for all intents and purposes. It can cause you to get closer to the Lord, and it can make you dependent on the Lord. Unlike Judas, who entered into catastrophic failure. Okay? That is a destructive failure. Destructive failure highlights your shortcomings. It keeps you feeling inadequate and defective. Example, I use Judas because when Judas had betrayed Christ, Judas saw, after he did what he did, he was filled with remorse. But there's a big difference between remorse and repentance. That's why when people say, "I'm sorry," to me, I'll ask them, "Are you sorry you got caught? Are you sorry you didn't get away with it? Or are you sorry in your heart for real?" But either way, you have to learn that failure is just a part of living. And you have to learn and understand that failure doesn't mean final. And you have to learn how to take those failures as stumbling stones and turn them into stepping stones that you can walk on over that water or over that situation or over that circumstance. When I was on the foreign mission field, we used to have a saying, and the saying was, "Your attitude will determine your aptitude in missions." That's not just for missions. That's for anything you do and everything you do, especially in Christ Jesus. You see, in ministering to so many people all the time, I get to ask a lot of questions. I get to observe a lot of basic characterizations, I guess, of people. And I get to observe a lot of good habits and a lot of bad habits. And if you would know this about me, I really don't like talking on the telephone. I don't. So I have a tendency to want to make the conversation, get it over with, whatever it is. Let's get to the root of it and let's end it. But a lot of people, when they explain something to you, they want to be very, very thorough. And they want to take me all the way back to the Garden of Eden and bring me up to today. And I guess really that might be the best way. But that's why I used an assessment. I have a 20-something page assessment. I really used it when I first started in this ministry because it helped me. But then after so many years, I just memorized that thing. And I just ask people the questions that are on there. But the key is in my mind, how to score it. But if you have ever failed at anything, can you get a pencil and paper? This morning, a pencil and paper. And I want you to write your failures down. Why are we going through this? I'm getting ready for the schools. This helps me know what to use, what not to use, what to discard. Now, I want you to measure your failure, your worst failure, 10. Your least failure, 1. So from 10 to 1, I want you to write down, I want you to think about it. What you thought would be the worst failure in your whole life. I mean, the one failure you think if you came face to face with that failure, think you would fail. Can you write that down? See, I used to think, you keep writing, I'm going to keep talking. I used to think my worst failure in the whole wide world would be for me and Brother Joe to get to a city and I'm going to minister in that city and the people whose church I would be at were not helping me. I thought if that ever happened to me, I'd be a goner, dead. And you know what? It happened. It happened. And guess what? We're still here. It happened. So I want you to write that down. The reason being, if it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen. Now, who has written it down and is not ashamed to share it? Anybody? If you have, press 1. If you're ashamed to share it, don't press nothing. I'll just make something up. Everybody's ashamed to share it, huh? Well, number one, you got fear in that right there. I was afraid that was happened to me, and it happened. It absolutely happened. Let me see who this is. Good morning, 5998.
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Erica.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is that Monica?
Good morning, Tim. Yes, it's Monica.
Okay. Well, what happened to you that you thought would be the most awful, fearful thing in your whole life. Did it happen already?
Yeah, I believe it did. And
you lived through it, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about it for a minute.
Okay.
Can you talk about it?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about it for a minute. What was it?
I think for me, it is hurting other people in the ministry the way that I've been hurt. That bothers me. I'm sorry.
So, what is the fear? You're afraid, and you don't want to do that, or what's the fear in it?
The fear is the it is the fear of. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say. Try to break it down elementary.
Okay.
Like one of them students you used to have.
Okay. Hearing the wrong teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And teaching others the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I want to teach them the right way and the way that they should go. Like God says that we're supposed to, you know, like train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to teach the people that God brings in my path.
Mm-hmm.
To teach them the right way to follow God.
Okay, now, you see that paper you got right there that you asked you to write on? You see that paper? Draw a cross. Draw a vertical line, and then draw a horizontal line across. Draw a cross. On the left side, write good. On the right side, write good. On the left side, write bad. Okay. What would be the disadvantage? What would be the bad side that you have seen or experience could happen from doing that? What's the bad side?
The bad side would be leading the people in the wrong way.
And so what would be the fruit? What would be the bad fruit from it?
Not bearing any good fruit.
Okay, write that down.
It would be bad.
Okay.
Bearing bad fruit.
Yes, bearing bad fruit.
Okay.
Now, across from that bad side, what would be the good that would come out of never doing it? Write that under good. What would be the good? What would be one good point from never doing it?
What would be the good of never doing it? Let me see.
You want me to break it down a little bit more?
Yeah.
Okay, you see the bad part, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would be the opposite of that? What would be the good that would come out of never doing to people what was done to you in terms of not teaching you the right way.
The good is that the people wouldn't be misguided.
And what happens as a result of being misguided?
Bad consequences.
Hmm?
Bad consequences.
Give me one bad consequence. How about not getting to know the real Jesus?
Yeah.
Would you say that would be one? Would that be one?
Yes, sir. It would be one.
How about if the Bible says that you got to have a clean heart, would another one be not having a heart that is clean enough to allow God to flow through it? Would that be one?
Yes.
Now you give me one more.
Very good one.
Okay. Give me one more. What about your children? If you were taught lies, what would you teach your children?
The same lies.
Uh huh. So therefore, it would be a bad end result with your children too, wouldn't it?
It would be.
So now, draw a line at the bottom of the cross right there.
Okay.
What would be the solution?
Getting to know the real Jesus.
For who? For yourself?
For myself.
You see what I'm trying to get you to do here?
Uh-huh.
Just think. You have a brain. Use it. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to everybody. It seems like too many people in the church have just turned their brains over to other people to think for them. So if you got in a bad situation, you wouldn't even know how to think yourself out of a paper bag. Can I get somebody else? Thank you. Your final comment. Sum it up. I'm a teacher. Take all of those bad points, bring it over here, and give a summation to all the good points, and round it up at the bottom. The comment at the bottom. Can you do that?
Mm-hmm. So I take all the bad.
Yeah, I used to have fear, blah, and start with the bad, go to the good, and sum it up at the bottom.
Okay. I used to have fear of leading people the wrong way. Because in leading them the wrong way, they're going to bear bad fruit. If I teach them the wrong way, they're not going to get to know the real Jesus. The good part is people would not be misguided from not knowing the real Jesus. And getting to know the real Jesus will bring them peace, life, and joy.
You know what I just did with you?
What?
I just taught you how to do a sermonette. You just preached your first 30-minute sermonette.
Wow.
not based on somebody else's anything, but based mm-hmm. on your relationship with God. And I just taught you how to do a 30-minute sermon. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To God be the glory.
Thank you.
Now, if you had to put a scripture to it, you could put anyone. You would mm-hmm. know them by their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Truth and don't lie. What other scriptures could you get out of the good side? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All things work
together. I did not choose you. Yes.
Huh?
You did not choose me, but I chose you. That's another scripture.
For your sermon that. You could go preach that, and then you could tell them. You could stand up and say, I overcame that myself, and that's my testimony. Hello, right?
Yes.
Serving God is so easy. All you have to do is speak the truth, and speak the truth, and speak the truth, and speak the truth, and speak the truth. You can make it an hour, but that's too long. This was just a little sermonette. And you cannot say now, I have fear, because you just did it over the podcast, right?
Right.
Life is not complicated. You just have to live it. And you have to overcome your own fears. Did you succeed or fail with this? If I ask you, did you succeed or fail with this, what would you say?
I would say,
I would say you're wrong. Ain't no failure in your own sermonette. You can't fail. It's how you feel. Ain't no failure in this. How can you fail in your own feelings? Nobody could really criticize you in this, because I mm-hmm. asked about a personal experience, and nobody could take mm-hmm. that experience away from you, because it's your experience. So how could you fail?
Yeah.
But you got to do what? You got to get more confidence in yourself. This is your experience. Really, if somebody came to
right.
if somebody came to judge your experience, tell them to shut up.
Dr. Erica, when you see it on the cross like this, it takes a whole different meaning.
Yes, ma'am. These are little things over the years I learned, because I had to train missionaries. I had to go in foreign countries. Couldn't even speak the language. I had to learn little songs and little bitty things that work. This works. This is something I devised on the foreign mission field. It works. All I'm doing, and all you're doing, is you telling somebody about a Jesus experience. Mm-hmm. And you're overcoming your own fear at the same time. Right?
Right.
And you're learning, too, how they're going to judge your experience. A person be a fool to try to judge somebody else's experience. Isn't that right?
Right. Yes, ma'am.
You had the courage. You were the only one that had the courage to stand up. That is bad. Bad, bad, bad. When God went to Ananias to send Ananias to lay hands on Paul's eyes, what did Ananias say? He said, I've heard a lot about this man, Paul. God, you sure? You sure you need to do this? Ananias had to overcome what? His own fear of Paul's reputation.
Mm-hmm.
He was afraid of the man's reputation. But what did he tell God? I will go wherever you want me to go. I will speak whatever it is you want me to speak. And I will do obediently whatever it is you tell me to do. So God put him to the test. I'm going to send you to the Christ killer. Not only am I going to send you to the Christ killer, you're going to lay hands on his eyes. And you're going to tell him, because, look, Ananias, I have chosen him to go before kings. Isn't that what it says?
Yes, that's what it says.
Now, Ananias, what you going to do? What are you going
to
do?
He got up and went to...
And did what God told him to do. Brothers and sisters, y'all got too much fear. It's simple as that. If you're afraid to get on this blog talk, where nobody can even see your face in your own house, you got too much fear. And God just wanted me to do that little thing this morning because, oh, I got lots of them. I got lots of them. And Monica, all you had to do was fall back on that teaching you got over here.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you had to do was fall back on that. So, since all the rest of y'all scared, think about that experience you heard this morning. And you need to ask God to give you some confidence. I'm through. I'm done. See, I don't have a lot of time like y'all do. When I ask you to do something, you need to jump up and do it. Because after I get it out there, you done sat and you done watched. I'm done. I will see you tomorrow. This is Captain Erica Shepherd.
I'm not a warrior. I'm too afraid to lose. I feel unqualified for what you're calling me to. Lord, with your strength, I've got no excuse. Cause broken people are exactly who you use. So give me faith to last and hope in the lion's den. Give me hope alive, Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart of life, David, or be mine to fail. So I can face my giants with confidence. trust you and gave you everything.
Get ready and keep up with me. I'm going to be moving pretty fast, but I tell you what, if you keep up, the Holy Ghost will put it right in you. And then whenever you need it, the Holy Ghost will bring it right out. Are you with me this morning? Y'all dragging worse than me. That's what life is, change. I just thought you had to do a mini sermonette. And not reading somebody else's. I got a lot to teach you. But I'm trying to get it down to the school. Where you can come on in here, get to school, and go out equipped. You can do this. I know you can do it. I know you can do it. Now, between today and tomorrow, I want you to have a little talk with Jesus. Ask him to help you. He sent me to help you. I'm trying. You got stuff to do. I got stuff to do. We got stuff to do. Let's go ahead and do it. So you have a little talk with Jesus between today and tomorrow. I'm gonna give you another little quickie tomorrow. I'm trying to see where I got to start, what I got to do.
Just have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Come on, let's sing that one tonight. Goes like this. You've heard this one, haven't you? Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn, you know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus, makes it right.
Here we go.